Wings of Chaos. Chapter 17 is a longer chapter, so I split it into two parts, and this is part B. Chapter 17, The Twins. Ozurin swept like a storm over the fallen bodies of his comrades, his greatsword flashing and the snake tattoo along his forearm glowing with power. He held his breath against the curling smoke and lunged at the man standing over Keelan, lopping off his head with one smooth strike. Without hesitating, he ran past to the man who released the smoke and cut cleanly through the hand holding his sword, then cut the other hand holding another vial, then finally removed his head. Blood sprayed in a glorious arc and splattered against the walls as the head landed and rolled. Luckily, the vial didn't break. Ozurin jumped through the smoke and saw Whisper shoot a bolt of fire at the sorceress. She countered the spell and was slammed from behind by his sphere of flames. The woman shrieked as she burned and fell. The last man was running past Whisper, trying to escape through the back door. The tabaxi chased him, and Ozurin ran after them, finally gasping in air once he was clear of the smoke. "Give up!" Ozurin shouted as Whisper grabbed the fleeing man by the arm and pulled him back roughly. "Your companions are dead." The man struggled for a moment, then let his crossbow clatter to the floor, seeing Ozurin told the truth. The warlock raised the tip of his bloodied greatsword under the man's chin, and Whisper kicked away his crossbow and began rifling through his pockets. "Where is the antidote for my friends?"
"You don't need one," he said solemnly. "They'll wake if you shake them."
"What sort of poison did you use?"
Ozurin pressed the tip of his blade against his skin, drawing blood. The man winced as Whisper pulled up another vial like the substance that had created the smoke.
"It's just something we use to put people to sleep. We call it ether. We don't try to kill them," he said. "We need them alive if we're gonna sell them. That's what we're trying to do to the rest of you."
"Fine," Ozurin said. "Whisper, tie him up." He threw the tabaxi a length of rope from his pack, keeping the point of his sword trained on the man. Whisper quickly tied his hands, then punched the man in the side of the face. He punched him three more times, and finally, Ozurin said, "Enough!" He raised the hilt of his sword and hit the man in the temple, knocking him to a heap on the floor. Shale awoke to a floating spectral hand shaking her roughly. She sat up, coughing, and looked around. Keelan, Philip, and Reverence were just getting to their feet. Trigger was laying asleep next to her. She shook him, and the fox awoke groggily, immediately rubbing his long nose under her arm. She scratched him.
"It's okay, buddy," she said softly. "What happened?"
"Sleep smoke," Ozurin said, walking through the room. "They were hoping to take us prisoner." Shale winced and grabbed her shoulder, where the bolt was still embedded.
"Here," Philip said, walking unsteadily to her side.
"Let me."
The druid pulled out the bolt and healed her. Keelan and Reverence began searching the bodies.
"They were definitely trackers," Keelan said, taking out another vial of poison and showing it to them.
"We took a prisoner," Ozurin said, nodding back toward the kitchen. "We knocked him out and Whisper tied him up."
"Prisoner?" Reverence smiled wickedly, striding across the room to the kitchens. "Excellent."
Philip went to find their caravan up the road and tell them to return to the inn, while Ozurin went through the room and used prestidigitation to magically scrub the place clean of blood. The smoke had completely dissipated, and they were able to drag the bodies and heads outside through the back door. Reverence dragged the prisoners into the cellar, and Shale decidedly did not want to know what methods of torture the tiefling would use this time. Instead, she retrieved the frightened Goldra and assured her the traffickers were gone for good.
"What about the other people they took?" the halfling woman asked frightfully.
"I don't know." Shale shook her head.
"We're gonna find out. Our monk is on it."
Reverence dragged the unconscious man into the cold cellar with Whisper's help, then pointed to the dirt floor.
"Can you dig a hole deep enough that he can't crawl out?"
he asked, and Whisper obliged, magically pulling up dirt and piling it next to the earthen walls of the underground cellar. Reverence tore off the man's clothes until he was down to his small clothes, then unceremoniously dropped him into the hole. Then he jumped down next to the body and took a vial of the ether they'd found on him and dripped it into his mouth to keep him unconscious. With Whisper's help, the monk crawled back up the hole, and they dragged a table upside down over the hole to cover it.
"Thank you, Whisper. You can go now."
He dismissed the tabaxi, then sat in cross-legged meditation in the darkness and waited for the man to wake.
"If I don't get Arietta to sleep with me by now..."
Philip grumbled under his breath as the members of their caravan filed inside the well-lit inn.
"Then it'll never happen." The half-elf put on a big smile and ran to grab Arietta by the hand as she and her sister wandered inside.
"As promised, my beautiful Arietta, your bed awaits," he declared proudly.
Keelan found them a table and sat, watching Philip and Arietta head up the stairs together, his expression hollow.
"Are you all right?"
Shale asked the paladin, who looked up at her in surprise.
"That drug they gave us was quite potent," she clarified.
He cleared his throat and straightened. "It's a useful drug. It's too bad we didn't find more of it to use." Shale nodded her agreement, then caught Zelina walking the perimeter of the room with a dull expression.
"Excuse me," Shale said, leaving Keelan at the table with Ozarin in whisper.
"Zelina, hi," she said, trotting over to the woman as others of the caravan picked seats at the tables or started carrying their clothes upstairs for the night.
"Hello,"
Zelina answered, looking at her, a hand on a windowsill.
"Since your sister is, otherwise occupied, I thought perhaps we could share a room. The innkeeper said there aren't enough for everyone, and it might give us an opportunity to..."
"Okay," Zelina sighed, sounding bored.
"Great."
Shale gave a stiff smile and handed her a key. "It's number 11. You can bring your things up whenever."
"Sure,"
she said solemnly, then walked off, one hand tracing the wall as she did so. Shale shook her head and sat back down.
"You really don't like her, do you?"
Ozarin asked.
"I don't trust her."
Shale crossed her arms. "That's why I'm planning on going through her things once she's asleep."
"Don't tell Reverence that," Keelan warned. "He fancies her."
"That's because she's as solemn as he is," Ozarin joked, and Shale smiled, but her attention was not on the main floor of the inn. Her thoughts drifted to the stairs under the kitchen, to where Reverence was torturing their captive. The prisoner woke groggily and began shouting up through the darkness, touching his hands against the rough dirt walls, looking for any indication of where he was. "Hello?" he said, then began shouting. "Hello? Can anyone hear me? Help!" The shouting continued for the better part of an hour, before Reverence finally acknowledged him.
"Yes, I can hear you," the monk said softly, dangerously.
"Where am I? Who are you?" the man demanded, then shivered.
"And where are my clothes?"
"I'll ask the questions," Reverence told him, putting a hand over the table and sliding it a few inches from the top of the hole so he could peer in. There was a dimly lit lantern in the cellar, giving only a vague impression of the outline of his horned face to the man who squinted to look up at him.
"Let me go," the man warned.
"What is your name?"
"Elrin, what's yours?"
"What did I say about asking questions?" Reverence warned, and the man seemed to shrink in his hole.
"Good.
Now, you've been here for a 10-day, he lied to the man, holding up a near-empty vial of ether.
"Do you know what this is?"
he asked, and the man nodded.
"We've kept you asleep for a long while. Your friends are dead. All of them. You're the only one left."
"Well, if that's true," Elrin said boldly, "then our prisoners have already starved."
"Who were these people you trafficked, Eldon?"
"It's Elrin," he corrected automatically. When Reverence stared blankly at him, he began pacing the few feet he had inside the hole, back and forth.
"I don't know, travelers, people we thought looked strong enough to face the journey."
"How did you do it?" "We drugged them with ether, like we did to your friends in that inn. Then we dragged them off until we could get our contacts to create false documentation of sentences, stating our prisoners were felons, they'd get shipped out to sea without question, and we'd get paid." He shrugged again. "It's easy money in these parts."
"I wonder why you are so forthcoming with this knowledge, Alrys," Reverence mused.
"My name is Elrin," he said, growing more frustrated by Reverence's blatant mistakes. "I was in it for the money, but if everyone else is dead, it doesn't matter anymore. I couldn't keep up the business on my own even if I wanted to. It was all Aylward's idea."
"Where are you keeping the prisoners?" Reverence asked.
"If you told it true and I've been down here a 10-day, then they're dead. Starved." Reverence glared at him, then grabbed the table and pulled it back over the hole, shrouding the man back in darkness.
"Hey, wait, don't leave me in here," he shouted,
but Reverence was already climbing up the stairs of the cellar and out the door to where they'd piled the other three bodies. Reverence found one of the man's severed heads and took it by the hair and cast a spell, covering the entire head in ice. He smirked and ran back to the cellar, moving the table aside once more and dropping the head into the pit. "Whoa, wait, hey!" The man jumped back as the head landed, and the ice cracked in several places upon impact.
"I'm going to leave that in there to melt while you wait," Reverence said. "I'll be back tomorrow to ask you again about the prisoners. I expect to have your answer then."
Reverence ignored the man's screams and angry curses as he moved the table back and headed upstairs to find some supper. Shale waited long enough to give Zelina time to fall asleep before going up to their shared room. She creaked the door open gently and threw down her pack and let Trigger run to the foot of the bed and snuffle through it for food. She closed the door and kicked off her boots, eyes trained on the twin to see her reaction. But she breathed soundly. Satisfied, Shale bent and began rifling through the woman's pack, which consisted of some nice clothing and a few wrapped food items. No makeup, though the woman's face always looked painted. There were a couple of plain daggers, but nothing else. Something's off about this one, Shale thought, leaning in close to peer at the woman. She didn't seem to be an illusion or any sort of spellcaster. Shale reached out a finger and lifted a bit of the woman's hair to move it from her face, but Zelina stirred. Shale quickly jumped back and motioned to Trigger, who ran to her on the floor. She started scratching his belly, her back to Zelina. Good boy, Shale was saying to her fox. She could feel Zelina's eyes on her as the young woman awoke, watching cautiously. She didn't dare look up again until she heard Zelina turn back over. When she looked, the blanket was pulled up over her face. Shale breathed out a sigh of relief, then stripped and crawled into bed, Trigger settling in beside her. Philip awoke with the rustling of sheets, and he opened his eyes to see Arietta had slipped out of bed and was dressing.
What are you doing? He asked groggily.
Oh, she gasped, turning to him, hand on her breast. Philip, you scared me. I'm just going to wash up.
Wash up, he said,
sitting up, his bare chest pale in the moonlight streaming through the window.
It's the middle of the night.
I need to use the chamber pot, she said pointedly.
Then why are you getting dressed?
Philip pressed.
Where are you going?
Just out. She hesitated, pulling back her hair once she'd slipped her shirt over her head. I'll be okay. She tied a warm cloak over her shoulders.
No, you really won't, he insisted,
throwing his feet over the side of the bed and walking over to her.
There are slavers around.
I just want some fresh air, Arietta said. I was hoping to go for a walk with my sister.
Fresh air, Philip said flatly. With Zelina, in the middle of the night, when there are traffickers about.
Just forget it, she said, pushing on his chest with her hand. Let's both go back to bed. She started to untie her cloak. Philip reached up and stopped her hands.
Back to bed, just like that. I don't think so.
He shook his head, staring at her suspiciously.
Explain yourself first.
It's family business, she said too politely, hands dropping to her sides.
There should be no family business in the woods in the middle of nowhere at 3 a.m.
Philip refused to drop the subject until she gave him a satisfactory answer. Instead, Arietta shook her head. Let's go back to bed, she said pleadingly.
No, he said firmly. Arietta, tell me.
She stared at him for a few moments, then sighed and relented. Fine, I'll tell you. But you can't tell your friends. Promise? He sat on the bed and made room for her to sit next to him, which she did, folding one leg under the other so she could face him.
All right, he agreed. I won't tell them.
And promise you won't hurt me, she added seriously.
On my word as a druid.
He raised a hand.
Though it's contingent on the nature of what you tell me, so long as it does not affect my safety or the safety of the caravan, I will not hurt you or your secret.
Reluctantly, she began. Zelina and I aren't what we appear to be.
Beautiful? Philip asked.
She smiled. Well, I am, obviously. But no, I mean that we've been traveling the Sword Coast for a decade, working for an organization.
Who?
He asked. They call themselves the Reapers. Those four people in the inn you killed last night, they were Reapers. That's why I wanted to go with Zelina tonight, before we were found out.
Philip nodded thoughtfully. I won't report you, he said finally. But you should know that kidnapping people and subjecting them to slavery is a dark trade, and I don't condone it.
It was an easy way for us to make gold, Arietta told him, seeming relieved by his reaction.
Even so, it's not okay. No one should ever be subjected to.
Perhaps that's how we got into it, she said quickly, defensively. Perhaps Zelina and I were once taken. Philip paused and rubbed his eyes, then stood from the bed.
I can't sleep. I need some time.
He pulled on a pair of trousers and slipped into a loose-fitting shirt. Philip, she started, but he was gone. He wandered downstairs barefoot, passing Whisper on his way up the stairs. He nodded to the wizard, who looked overtired and had a pair of scrolls clutched in his paws. Philip snuck behind the bar and took out a bottle of mead, not bothering with a cup as he sat alone and drank the sweet, warming liquor. Reverence crept downstairs early in the morning to find a drunken and exhausted Philip sitting alone with two empty bottles of mead on his table. He gave the druid an acknowledging wave as he entered the kitchens and descended into the cellar. He pulled the table aside and saw Elrin at the bottom of the pit, curled asleep as far from the melting, decapitated head as he could get. Reverence clapped his hands together and magically forced the sound to echo like a thunderclap. Elrin jumped at once to his feet, then turned his eyes to the dim light peeking in.
"Are you ready to talk?"
Reverence asked.
"Fine," Elrin said immediately. "I'll tell you where the prisoners are."
"Well?"
He sighed. "They're in a watchtower, about 7 miles east of here."
"Anything else we can expect guarding the prisoners?"
Elrin shook his head. "It was just the four of us. Like I said, we didn't need to guard them. They were constantly drugged and barely ever conscious except to eat the bare minimum of food to keep them alive."
Reverence held his hand over the pit and created a showering of coals, which dropped on Elrin. He shouted, "Ow! Ow!" and quickly brushed the hot coals from his hair and skin. "What was that for?" he demanded. "I've told you everything I know."
Reverence grabbed his spear, which leaned against the wall, then jumped into the pit, landing firmly on both feet in front of his prisoner.
"I like you, Engrin," he said, then thrust the end of the spear into the man's gut, skewering him. Blood bubbled up into Elrin's mouth, and he moaned as he fell back. Reverence wiped his spear on the man's small clothes and spat. "What a waste." The pit filled with the stench of released bowels. With his dying breath, Elrin said in a rattling cough,
"Long live the Reapers."
The caravan decided to stay another night at the Grinning Gnome roadside inn, which gave the party a chance to discuss what Reverence had learned from their prisoner.
"Who are the Reapers?"
Ozarin wondered aloud over breakfast. "I've never heard of them before."
"Some group of kidnappers and enslavers,"
Reverence said slowly, pulling another chunk of biscuit apart and shoving it into his mouth. They had found Philip downstairs, thoroughly drunk, and Keelan had quickly healed him back to soberness. Whisper was still upstairs, asleep, having stayed up late copying scrolls.
"I don't think it's up to us to remove the focus from the cult of the dragon to think about these Reapers,"
Reverence said. "It's our moral duty to save these prisoners," Keelan said firmly, slamming a fist into the table, as he was wont to do when feeling morally justified.
"I want to stay behind," Philip said, and they all looked around at him in surprise. "The Reapers might come back, and I don't want to leave this caravan, nor our cart of supplies, ripe for the taking."
Reverence clutched something under his robes, at his chest, and stared at Philip for a moment, then grabbed the druid's arm and pulled him away from the table.
"If we can't all trust each other,"
Shale shook her head,
"how will we ever stop the cult or save the people we want to save?"
They returned to the table a few minutes later, Philip looking grave and Reverence seeming intrigued. It was as though the two had swapped minds.
"Philip is feeling betrayed," Reverence explained in a low voice. "He has promised not to say anything, but I was able to hear his thoughts, and he has allowed me to explain to you."
"Go on then," Ozarin urged. Reverence leaned in, and they all mirrored him, except Philip, who looked uncomfortable and like he'd very much enjoy getting drunk again.
"Arietta and Zelina work for the Reapers. They have for a long time. Philip worries that if we go to the watchtower to find the prisoners, then Zelina and Arietta will steal away and find more Reapers to come attack our caravan."
"I knew it," Shale whispered. "I never trusted them." Keelan gave her an appraising look, and she glanced away.
"What should we do?" Shale asked then. "If we split up, we might not be strong enough to fight off whatever's in that tower."
"We can't leave those people to die," Keelan said again.
"I agree with you," Shale told him, "but we need a clever plan. Ozarin, what do you think?"
"Reverence said the prisoner told him there were no gods around the prisoners," the warlock said thoughtfully.
"I'm not sure we can believe that."
He paused, thinking. "What if we took Zelina with us and split up the sisters? If Philip is more comfortable staying behind, we can leave him and Whisper at the inn while we go on ahead looking for the prisoners. If we run into trouble, I can always send a message back to them and have them join us."
"Will Zelina come with us?" Shale asked skeptically.
"Oh," Reverence smiled, a dreamy look in his reddish eyes. "I think I can convince her." They quickly finished their breakfast and gathered supplies for the day. Reverence leaving Oin to look after the cart and horses while Philip stayed in the main floor, promising to remain sober. They let Whisper rest and met Reverence and Zelina in front of the inn a short time later.
"We're going on a walk with all of them?"
Zelina asked in a bored voice.
"It might be a long walk,"
Reverence said carefully. Zelina shrugged and pushed her blonde hair out of her face.
"Fine, I don't mind a walk."
"This should be fun," Shale whispered sarcastically into Keelan's ear. Keelan led Ember until they reached the forest, then put a booted foot in the stirrup and pulled himself up onto the black gelding, clutching the reins in one hand.
"Anyone else?" the paladin asked.
Shale smiled and shook her head, taking in a deep breath of the pine fresh air.
"No thanks, I like to walk."
Shale continued to send out her primeval awareness of any signs of undead creatures. About an hour into their walk through the dense forest, she paused.
"I can sense undead. I think they're in the watchtower."
"So the prisoner lied after all,"
Ozarin said quietly, and Zelina looked confused, then understanding washed over her face.
"The people are guarded."
Another hour passed before they came upon the watchtower, peeking through the mess of trees and overgrowth. "The undead could be anywhere," Shale told them, "but I'm guessing they're on the lower levels.
Reverence, is there any way you can climb the tower from the outside to see where the prisoners are?
They might give us some direction before we start wandering through dark rooms filled with ghosts or vampires or worse."
Reverence ran ahead and climbed up the outside of the tower deftly, pulling himself up to look through the arrow slits. Eventually he descended and returned to them, slightly out of breath.
"I found the prisoners at the top of the tower," he said, "four in total. There are no windows big enough, so we'd have to take the stairs inside."
Ozarin took out the silver raven statue they'd found at Dragonspear Castle, and the inky black illusion of a raven sprouted from it, cawing, and hopped on the ground in front of them.
"I'm sending word to Whisper and Philip,"
the warlock told them, taking out a scrap of parchment and an ink pen and scrawling on it. He rolled the parchment and tied it on the raven's proffered leg. Ozarin let the bird hop onto his hand and held it aloft, whispering, "Words of woe and shadow." The raven cawed again, then opened its wings and flapped into the air, soaring over the treetops.
"How did the prisoners look?" Shale asked Reverence.
The tiefling looked at them, Zelina looking withdrawn, the rest all nervous.
"They were beaten, but alive. I saw three unconscious, a gnome and two humans. One was awake, also a human. And,"
he hesitated, touching a hand to his chest,
"he had a tattoo on his chest. The tattoo was the symbol of the Harpers." Listening to Wings of Chaos, written by Alexis Vienendahl and based on the Horde of the Dragon Queen D&D campaign. For more stories by me, visit my blog linked in the show notes. Thanks so much for listening.